Environmentalists are closely watching a project that's underway in northeastern Indiana. Ball State University is constructing the largest geothermal heating and cooling system of its kind in the country. The university promises the plant will help cut its carbon emissions in half. We have the story from Daniel Robison of member station WFIU in Bloomington, Indiana.
If you dig down just a few dozen feet below the Earth's surface, you'll find the temperature remains between 52 to 55 degrees. Depending on the time of year, geothermal systems work by using the Earth's temperature as a heat source or sink by sending water through miles of pipes and concentrating it to meet the temperature the thermostat calls for. Using this basic concept spread out over 660 acres to heat and cool nearly 50 buildings hasn't been attempted before in this country. But that's the challenge Ball State's facing. Drills the size of tree trunks are punching through dirt, clay, and limestone, creating a polka dot pattern that stretches over land equal to half a dozen football fields. Just one of these 400-foot deep holes could heat and cool a house. But 4100 will take care of this entire campus.
They still think of it as technology that's strange. Well, it's not.
That's project engineer Jim Lowe. In a state where more than 95% of energy needs are met through coal and natural gas, he says there's still a gee whiz to geothermal.
This is a major, major change. Instead of thinking about building boilers and continuing to use coal and natural gas, we have shifting that paradigm to one where we are relying upon a renewable energy source here.
When the school originally tried to replace its four Eisenhower-era coal boilers, Ball State President Joanne Gora says a $50 million estimate led to sticker shock, and that's before factoring in the cost of coal. So the school started to think outside its smokestack.
We're using the renewable energy that the ground represents. Buildings rest on the ground. The ground is a source of renewable energy. Why don't we use it?
Unlike wind and solar, which don't operate efficiently 24/7, geothermal systems are on all the time. But each one must be installed on site, meaning it would take thousands of these projects to equal the heating and cooling power of just one coal plant.
We're not a bunch of tree huggers. I still want to ride my Harley-Davidson.
That's Jim Huddleston, who, with his Stetson-shaped hard hat, manages the project he says will keep 80,000 tons of carbon emissions from the skies above Muncie. But he says the initial cost of geothermal is steep, and that keeps many from digging deep in their own pockets to pay for it.
Problem is, you and I go to buy a house, and I need every penny I have to get that down payment, and we don't spend that extra 30%.
It could cost Ball State as much as $80 million to build the system, but officials estimate energy savings of up to $2 million a year once the system's up and running. But right now, even with $40 million from the state and $5 million in federal stimulus funds, Ball State has raised just over half the money it needs. Despite the financial hurdles, Oregon Institute of Technology professor John Lund says Ball State will show that large-scale geothermal is a viable resource.
It does show that it can be done on a large scale. It'll work anywhere in the country, because all you need is that temperature, anywhere from North Dakota down to Florida, and from Maine down to, you know, to Texas.
Meanwhile, across Ball State's campus, Mark Tucker is dumping coal into an enormous boiler, which rages at 1,800 degrees.
We go through about 130 tons a day between the four boilers.
It could take 5 to 10 years for Ball State to complete this project as the school moves forward, tapping the earth for its heating and cooling needs. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Robison.